The following program may contain coarse language, violence, nudity, mature subject matter, or scenes which may not be suitable for all viewers. Viewer discretion is advised.
All Hit Radio.
Welcome to the X Zone, a place where fact is fiction and fiction is reality. Now, here's your host, Rob McConnell.
And welcome back, everyone. Here we are back in the X Zone after that news break. And it's always great having you back with us, as our new affiliates are just joining us. And we're coming to you around the world tonight on the Talkstar Radio Network. Let me see here. Talkstar Mutual Broadcast Network, XZBN, and on Channel 32 on Simul TV. My guest this hour, X Zone Nation, is Jason Eastwood. And Jason has toured with the Beach Boys, Journey, Boston. And he's into music. And of course, we're going to be talking about music, how it affects one. And we're also going to be talking about healing healing through music, listening into the best self. It's available on Jason's website, which is great, guitarfulness.com. And joining me now is Jason Eastwood. Jason, welcome to the X Zone.
Hey, Rob. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here on the X Zone. I just want to clear something up. I didn't tour with the Beach Boys, Journey in Boston. My band played some festivals where we played on the same stages as them. So I didn't play in the bands. I just I shared some festivals or played some festivals with them.
Okay, so let me see. Where did you get that information? I'd like to clear it up. Just give me a sec, Craig, here.
Shared stages with them.
Touring extensively with various acts. Okay, I can understand where you got that from. It says, after touring extensively with various musical acts and sharing in the stage with musical icons. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so you shared, so you didn't tour with them. You played on the same stage as they did.
Yeah, I met them all. Yeah, and I met them all. I mean, those were all heroes of mine. And to play, I mean, we played a little festival circuit here in Canada where you're familiar with Canada. I'm in the middle of Canada. And Journey in Boston had these massive touring vans with TVs in there. You go in there, it's like going into a, you know, luxury condo. And my band, which was called Disaster Man, we had a tour bus that we made out of a 1976 school bus and painted it all black. And we were parked between Journey and Boston, and they thought, like, who are these guys? Yeah. We partied constantly. Those guys went to sleep. That's an all another story, but yeah, it was really fun.
How did you get into music?
Well, I started just kind of, I remember seeing my aunt play piano, and she would play songs like Blue Moon and things as a kid. Mm-hmm. And I just really vivid memories of this piano. So then I thought I could figure songs out on it. And I started just kind of fumbling around and figuring out some songs, like just making up songs. And I thought that was just normal at the time. And my grandmother thought that there's really something going on here. She was telling my mom, maybe get him into music. And shortly after that, actually, I was about six, seven then. And then when I was eight, I just turned eight. And Burton Cummings, who's from my hometown, he's a Canadian icon.
Yeah.
Written songs like Stand Tall and Break It to Them Gently, and was the lead singer of the Guess Who, famous for American Woman, of course. He was doing a CBC special in Winnipeg. That was CBC's national network, of course, and it was called Portage in Maine. And they wanted to recreate his birthday as a kid. So my aunt worked for the CBC, and she said, you know, my nephew, he looks just like Burton Cummings would as a kid. I don't know how she thought that or figured that out. But
good marketing.
Anyway, she brought me in, and I had to learn a couple of his songs off a record to mime for this skit. And I ended up getting that gig, and it was funny because I remember him teaching me how to fake piano. He was actually in the scene. He was around for the shooting, and I did the scene with his mother, of course. And he was cueing me on how to hit the marks when lip-syncing the song, and it was pretty hilarious. But I always think of that as my first music lesson, because I really learned music after that. By listening, like I took music lessons, but really, especially on the guitar, it would be, I'd listen to a Black Sabbath song and I'd be able to figure out the cool riff to it or something. And that was because I kind of got that early lesson where I had to learn this song and mime it exactly on when I was a kid, and just over and over, listening to something over and over, and it kind of got ingrained in me. So that's kind of how I started playing. And of course I wanted to play the drums, but my mother and father said, we don't have drums in this house. We'll get you a guitar. And it turned out to be pretty good.
I understand you started playing guitar at 11 years old.
Yeah. I started playing at 11, and just your typical thing, you know, took lessons at the corner store, and I learned a C chord and a G7 chord. And I remember the guy could play, you got the whole world in his hands, and he'd strum that. And I kind of got that going. And then they was teaching me like When the Saints Go Marching In to read notes. And I thought this was really boring, right? So kind of quit guitar. Then I went to see Van Halen the next summer. And that was my first concert. And I thought, okay, that's the kind of guitar I want to learn. And I just got back into it and just would sit in my room for hours. Cassettes were the thing back then. And records, right. But we're just getting good. This is like the 80s. And I'd rewind the cassette over and over and wear it out, just trying to figure out the guitar parts. Because there was no YouTube back then. You weren't listening. Like now you can say, type into YouTube, how do I play this song?
And yeah, exactly.
Back then it was like you learned off your neighborhood buddies or a couple lessons or just by listening. So
plus back then, if you knew how to play C, F, and G, you're all set.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you play guitar? Do you play any instruments, Rob?
Yeah, I used to, yeah. Wicked. Many years ago, my friend, many years ago.
You know, there's a Rob McConnell that's also a big
trombonist. Yeah. But unfortunately, he passed away a couple of years ago. So
Boss Brass, I've seen that band.
Yeah. Over the years, I've had the pleasure of producing shows for BJ Thomas, Peter Noon, Brighton Rock. Oh, God. And the list goes on. Leonard Cohen.
Man, one of my faves.
Yeah. And I also had the opportunity of meeting Gordon Lightfoot a few times when he came down to Toronto and when he was in Montreal. Yeah, so great times.
You know, I feel like that was the soundtrack of my youth, just on AM radio and stuff. Like hearing, and that's where I heard that guitar.
Yeah,
like just that folk guitar. He played at the beginning of If You Could Read My Mind or Sundown.
Yeah.
And just, you know, I never got to see Gordon Lightfoot live, and I just watched that documentary.
Fantastic show, yeah.
And man, about his life, and what an incredible songwriter. One of the best.
In fact, when I was at CJBK in London, I worked with Skip Brokaw from Lighthouse.
Oh, wow.
He was the drummer for Lighthouse, yeah.
That's so awesome.
Where does your quest for spirituality come from?
Yeah, that's a great question. Where did the quest come from? Well, you know, that started for me a long time ago. I think actually that started, like, I've always felt a connection with spirituality. And it was, you know, maybe that started when I saw Star Wars as my first movie, too. I was about 5 or 6. Mm-hmm. And I think I was infatuated with the Force right after Star Wars. I mean, that was... I just remember coming home from that movie and thinking that was the most real thing I'd ever seen. By this point, I'd gotten kicked out of church, I think.
Oh, congratulations. So did I.
I heard a story. Maybe on one of your shows where you talked about you got kicked out of the church. And I thought that happened to me, too. Yeah. Because it was catechism. It was a Catholic school.
Right.
And I was asking too many questions. And it was
exactly.
I was just very rambunctious at that age, you know, so that was it for me. And, you know, I look back as a crowning moment because, I don't know, I wasn't really into the scene, you know, if you know what I mean. But the Star Wars thing, it was, I came home and I was trying to move things with my mind, but it's like I just felt that there is an energy force out there that's so much beyond. I had an awareness, I think. And my mom says when I was first born, I just had this incredible awareness. So I just think that's where that quest comes from. But then going through a life of, like a lot of just trials and tribulations. And, you know, like the quest really took a new level for me when I kind of realized that the music industry had become insane for me. And, I was actually teaching at a major university in Halifax, and I had a great gig playing guitar in town at this restaurant 3 nights a week. In the summer, I'd tour with my band.
Right.
But I was, you know, I'd been used to this music industry of playing festivals, concerts, and then playing bars and theaters and pubs. And when you play, when you get in that lifestyle, it's surrounded by liquor and drugs and everything else, as you probably, you know, everybody knows the music industry is about a crazy place. So I really got out of control with the drinking. And that's when I thought, and my life was really kind of hit rock bottom there. And I was out of hand. So I thought, I have to get back to this spirituality. And I went and I started taking a meditation course at the university that's taught by this physics professor. And, you know, that was really, he was kind of focused on like Sri Chinmoy, which was pretty cool. I didn't know about any of this stuff. And then shortly after that, a friend suggested I go try out yoga, and I got into yoga. And then I started playing guitar for yoga classes. So lately, that's how it kind of led into the guitarfulness music I do. But, you know, I've felt like my whole life, it's been different moments of spiritual awakenings and, you know, things like that.
All right, stand by, my friend. You and I have to take our first break. X-Zone Nation, our guest this hour is Jason Eastwood. His website is guitarfulness.com. And his music is available for sale on his website. Check it out. Great music. And we'll both be back on the other side of this break. Whatever you do, don't go away. Welcome back, everyone. Joining us from Winnipeg, Manitoba, here in the great far white north, known as Canada to everybody down south of the 49th, is Jason Eastwood, and his website is guitarfulness.com. Jason, what's it like to play music, especially your guitar, in the spiritual zone?
You know, it's almost always when it's good, you're in a spiritual zone. Because there's nothing that puts you more in the present moment than playing an instrument and actually committing to it. Especially a lot of the times when I play, I write these guitarfulness pieces. I call it that music just because it's mindfulness, guitarfulness. I thought, because it's pretty meditative. And what I do is I have little kind of melodic flows, and you know, there's generally like a really slow pulsing groove to it. And then I leave a lot of space for spontaneity and improvisation, because that's when you have to live one note to the next. For me, it gets me in that zone where I'm channeling something. I don't have time to think. You know, and Charlie Parker, the great saxophonist, said, you know, when you want to learn theory, you learn all that theory, but when you play, you forget it. And I learned that in high school when I was in jazz band. I never really forgot that, because that's the way I always felt would be is the real music. Like, if I play a show, I could never really read it off the charts and stuff. Yeah. I mostly like to memorize the music, because then you're in that moment and you're in that, that's present space where you're just creating in the moment, and you're just right there. So you really feel like I'm connected and tapped in. And sometimes, you know, I see my hands doing something and I'm not really thinking it at all, and I'm just kind of enjoying it as it comes out the way as the listener is, right? I'm the listener and the performer. Mm-hmm. So there's so many aspects of music that get you into this zone like this. And it's in certain frequencies and vibrations you play that really kind of set you on a path of consciousness that's totally different. Like, I heard somebody say a quote just a few days ago. This guy Adam McInnes, he's kind of a hit songwriter, but he said music is really that the only thing on earth that it has, when you put an intention into it, it has that a vibration. So it has that intentional vibration that it keeps all the time. So if I put an intention and a vibration into a song, and I record that, I could send it to, you know, somebody in a across the world and in the middle of nowhere, they can listen to it and they can still feel that vibrational intent that comes from that music. So there's so much spiritual magic that goes on inside music. It's the reason I've dedicated my life to it. It's just, I've been playing like 40 years now, and I've got a university degree in music and a master's in musicology. And it's one of those things that the more you learn about it, the more it opens up, like physics or something, right?
You know, speaking about vibrations, it seems like in the early 60s, Brian Wilson and the Beach Boys, good vibrations. They knew what was going on. So did the hippies, Make Love Not War, and everything else. Why, in your opinion, did it take so long for the rest of the world to catch on?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I would say a lot of that is because there's no... and this might be a little bit controversial, but there's no money in peace and love.
That's true. It's not controversial. It's a fact.
It's a fact that the military industrial complex is where all the budgets go, right?
Yeah, I mean, big time.
The American government doesn't want to, have everyone everyone across the world in a beautiful state, because then they can't justify, $57 trillion, whatever it is this year, to build weapons. So that's a big part of it. And there's a lot of that goes into music. There's actually a lot of the bad side to the music industry. And I think this was like why I got so anxious and was drinking so much about it, because a lot of, if you get into, especially the pop music and what it is, like, music is so powerful that it can be used in the wrong way, because it's a vibration. It's a meditation, right? Like, what do you, when you hear a good, cool song, like a beat, you start.
That's right. You get into it because it just takes over. You have to live the song.
And what are you doing with your head like this? You're going, yes, yes. You're agreeing. So if you think about these lyrics a lot of times and you listen to, I'm not for censorship or anything, but you like, a lot of people are putting this music out for 12-year-old kids that is all about guns and sex and violence. And it's like,
just like the video games.
Yeah. And these music executives know exactly what they're doing. And they say, well, that's what the people want. That's what they want. It's like, no, these are kids, and you have to take a little more responsibility for what this art does, how powerful this music is. That's what I believe. Right. So I think that's a big part of why it hasn't caught on, but the great thing is when you're in a spiritual music community, or you're just playing festivals, and you meet people, and the people that listen to the fans, you get away from the industry of it.
Right.
It's all good vibrations mostly, right?
That is so true. Where do you get the inspiration for your music?
Yeah, a lot of it from nature. I live in the city, but I really spend a lot of time going all around Manitoba and all over California, Hawaii, and beaches, and just getting inspiration from beautiful hikes and beautiful places, and just kind of I try to put that into the guitarfulness music, right? So as far as like an external thing, I think that's like the inspiration. But I mean, a lot of it is just inspiration to express. It's just like when I empty myself, I feel like I'm channeling stuff through the guitar that I could never say or articulate. Really, it's just a matter of, I've been playing the guitar for so long that I can sit down and create an emotion with it.
Yeah,
and it's inspiration enough. Just to play.
In my opinion, that is the talent of a true master. We've seen the same thing with Beethoven, Bach, and anyone who loves music and who becomes part of the music plays the exact way that you just described. You become the music that you play.
Oh yeah, and not only that, but all those musicians you just mentioned and all the greats. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe Beethoven's an exception, but because he was pretty full of himself. But they all credit most musicians credit it being somewhere in the air. They're just a conduit for it, right? Like Keith Richards says, you know, the songs are in the air. You just have to be like an antenna and pick it up. I remember when I first heard him say that, I'm like, that's true. You just have to be open to it. And they're kind of floating around and you have to be the vehicle that that idea can get out there. But when you really write something good, the best songs and I've ever recorded, the best performances I've had, I definitely didn't feel like it was me. It was like, you don't, most musicians are so humble because when you have this great experience, you like, you realize that there's something more going on here. Like, it's not like, oh, I'm so great. Yeah. It's like, I'm grateful to be a part of this.
Well, let me ask you, what was it like the very first time that you were in front of a large number of people and you knew that you had control of that audience?
That's a great question. That was the first time. Yeah. Let me think back here. Because, you know, when it starts off, you play a lot of bad gigs first.
Right? Yeah, oh, yeah.
So I'm trying to think what that turned. And I got it. So I remember playing when I was learning guitar. Like, I had to learn the Hawaii 5-0 theme, which you probably, and for this music competition. And I just, like, my stomach turned to play this competition because so I bombed that. And that was like, I was like, oh, this, I don't like playing in front of people. Right. But yeah. Then, because I was taking guitar very seriously at the time. But the first time that happened, like, I remember it was the one that comes pops in my head. Have you ever heard of a guy named Big Dave McLean? He's a Canadian blues legend.
No, he's
from Winnipeg. He's actually, he's maybe not that much, he's not that known outside of Winnipeg, but he played with Muddy Waters. He wrote a song for Muddy Waters.
There's a legend, yeah.
Yeah, Muddy Waters recorded his song. So around Winnipeg, he is the blues guy. And when I was 16 or 15 in high school, we had a benefit concert to try to raise money because we had this great jazz band to go to Ottawa.
Right.
And Big Dave came out and we were going to be his blues band for the day. I was on guitar and we had a bass player and another kid on drums. And he came in and he taught us everything we were going to do to be his band. And I was really into blues at the time. I was listening to nothing but Stevie Ray Vaughan and BB King and all this great guitar stuff. And I remember when he just gave me that first solo and I was feeling really good that day. I ripped into it and the place was packed. It's this big community center. And just at the end, the crowd erupted and I thought, oh, I really got them with this guitar now. And the rest of that show, I just felt like in this special space where is a real connection with them, but just this, that, you know, the thing is when you're playing like that, like I'm playing and I'm like, oh, this is just regular stuff. Like, cause when you practice a lot, you think it's not that great, but then the way that the crowd erupted, I was like, there's something really special going on
here. Yeah. You take all the little elements and you just combine it. And the audience is a major part of any performer's What makes that entire performance come together is the audience.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's 100%.
When you're playing your guitar fullness and you're into your spiritual mode, do members of the audience experience spiritual events as well as spiritual awakening or spiritual experiences?
Yeah. You know, that's the reason that I really... Because obviously I've told you so many different stories of music I've played already, of different styles and genres. I mean, I've been doing this forever. But the reason I really went forward with the guitarfulness stuff is because, like I said, I got into yoga because I needed to find a spiritual outlet to and really center myself and get off the liquor. And I... the owner of the yoga studio asked me to play some guitar for some yoga classes. So I thought, sure, this is great. She recognized me from around town from playing. So I brought my classical guitar in and a beautiful handmade guitar from Japan, made in 1978, but it's made out of Brazilian rosewood from the Amazon forest. So luckily it was hot yoga and this guitar, maybe because it's from the Amazon forest, really like the room. It sounded great in there, which I was surprised. I thought it would blow up in the heat, but anyway, I started playing and it was one of those things where I had some ideas of kind of what I'd play for. I've never played for a yoga class before. Right. So I thought I'd been to a few, so I understood the meditative flow of it. And I started playing in that groove, and I just let kind of things come out, and I was kind of composing it on the spot. And at the end of the class, like a lot of people came up to me and they had that, those shining eyes, and just said that, you know, I'm so relaxed. I don't know. That was the most beautiful, beautiful music. It was, what was that? And I said, well, I don't know. I just kind of came up with it. And this happened over and over. I started playing there every week, and people wanted some recordings of it and stuff. So, and I made, I recorded one big 20-minute piece. I kind of had it as a meditation just to give out. And I was getting these responses, like that people I'd give the recordings to would say, you know, I listened to this in the morning, in the night, and all of the, you know, all the time. And my pets love it. My kids calm down. I just put it on the background, and it's just, there's something about it. And I thought, well, I did play, when I recorded it, I played it with this incredible intention. Like I put mantras all over the studio that said, I don't know if you ever heard of the Hawaiian healing art. It's called Ho'oponopono.
No, I haven't.
Okay. It's pretty cool. It's all about these mantras of love and forgiveness and gratefulness. And my mother's is into Hawaiian stuff a lot. So I really got into that for a bit.
Yeah.
And it's about zeroing yourself, which means letting rid of all your baggage, etc. But I put that intention into the music. And I was surprised because this started coming back to me. And then I recorded my first album, and I did that same thing. And I put out the album, and I had one lady purchased it. I remember right at the beginning, her name was Pam. And a few days later, I was just sitting, you know, checking my email. And I got this message from her that said, you know, she was in this really down part in her life. Her parents' health was failing, and there was one of them has Alzheimer's, and one of them was really, yeah, it was a really heartbreaking story. And she was going on this email, but her music, it started with, "Oh my God, Jason, I would be lost without your music," was her that start the email. And then she talked about how she was at her wit's end, and just sitting around, and she was, didn't know what to do with herself, and it was a horrible night, and everything was going wrong, and she didn't know, she was overwhelmed. And her phone lit up, and she said this album that I just bought off her just started playing automatically, and she started listening to it, and she hadn't really listened to it much yet. And the more she listened to it, she started out these tears said coming down her face. And she had this whole story about this. And this is a week after I started the Guitarfulness site. I just started a Facebook site and started selling this meditation through that. I thought, what an amazing sign that this is, I'm on the right path here with this music. So I really dedicated myself to it from 2018 when this happened on. And that's why I've got 33 albums out there now. But
holy cow, 33.
Yeah.
My lord, man.
it's all just instrumental guitar music, right? So I can actually produce it pretty quick. I've been trying to do an album a month for a while. That's still a lot. You're right. I'm pretty prolific because I love doing it. But I've received so many amazing letters from people with stories. I don't know.
Good things happen to good people, Jason. Well, it sounds like you're touching a lot of hearts, my friend.
Oh, thank you. You know, that's why I keep doing it.
All right, we've got to take a break, Jason. Please stand by. Next donation, if you'd like to get a copy of any of the 30 albums that our friend over here, Jason Eastman, has produced, visit his website, guitarfulness.com. This is the XL. I'm Rob McConnell. Jason and I return after this short break. And we're back. Jason Eastwood is my guest, www.guitarfulness.com. Jason, have you yourself had any paranormal experiences?
Oh, yeah. I don't know if you can see where I am right now, but it actually is not that great of a background, but I'm actually at a museum. This is a museum that I kind of use the top floor of to make a lot of noise because I live in a condominium, so I use it as kind of a recording studio. And this was a building built in 1911.
Wow.
And right behind me here, actually, I had a group set up, a band practice once, and this was there's more history to this building because it was the municipal hall for the area of St. James, where I am in the middle of in the west end of Winnipeg. Sorry. Mm-hmm. So there's a jail in the basement. There's a big safe. I mean, this was the city hall in 1911.
The hub.
And some things must have gone down here because, you know, the staff always talks about ghosts and things walking around. But anyway, this one night, so we had our rehearsal, we were recording some music, and we finished up and we were just discussing what had just happened, what we just played that night in the middle of the room, standing there, and I was directly looking at these chairs, and one of them just flipped over. It was just standing, it was a chair, it was right up to it, and it just flipped over. And I thought, okay, did I just see that? Like, luckily, my drummer, my buddy Collins, also saw it, and he looked at me, and we said, okay, let's get out of here. Like, there's something going on. So that's funny, because this place right here was now I feel like there's energies in here too, but I feel like they're all working with me. So I get some great recordings in here. It's got a really good vibe, actually. I did a whole guitar album called History, Chilling Through History with the guitar. And I did songs from the last 400 years on classical guitar, some of the biggest hits. And I actually set up mics all over the museum and got a really cool sound. But besides that, you know, I've got a really incredible, it's almost paranormal experience on the night that I actually quit drinking. I don't know if you want
to. Oh yeah, sure. Let's hear.
I can tell you, this is more of a personal thing, but I was, like I said, I would have been at my wit's end with mm-hmm. the drinking and I decided this was it. I'm having my final drink and I was going to videotape it to myself. And, videotape, not, you know, record on my phone. That is how old am I? Videotape. Yeah, I got out the old RCA VCR.
Yeah, VHS 3/4 inch or half inch or beta. Yeah,
exactly. But so I decided this was it. So I had this last toast to myself, and that was it. That was over, it was March 14th on 2016. So that was that.
Good for you. Congratulations.
Well, thanks so much. Yeah. I mean, I feel so great. I'd never go back, but, you know, not that I judge anybody else does. It just didn't work for me, yeah. But I have a friend, a great friend that was really struggling with alcohol too. And he lived in a town in BC I used to live in, and secluded town. And he had been to rehab, and, man, I saw what he was going through. He came to visit a little bit, a while before that, he went back to Golden, and I heard from other friends that he was really struggling with it. He said he wasn't drinking, but we all knew he was faking it, right? And anyway, so he was drinking behind everyone's back, and yeah. It was a bad scene. So anyway, I had this last drink to myself and then I thought this is it. This is, I'm making this final decision. This is it. So I went to work the next day. And the next morning, and I got to work, I'm a new sober self. And about an hour after I was there, I was working at a music store. I got a call from my friend that said my friend had died. He had passed away. He had killed himself that night.
Oh,
before.
No.
Yeah. And I thought, what are the, and it turns out, like, now, because I went to you know, after the fact, I found out everything happened. It was almost as at that exact time that I was taking that last drink that he had had enough of not being able to get off the bottle. I think there's other extremists, obviously more circumstances, but
sure.
It was just, we shared that struggle. So to find out, like, it just gives me chills to this day, even, because I mean, there it is. Right there, I said, well, that's, I don't know if, you know, he gave his life for, you know, I felt like I would be betraying, you know, everything if I went and did this again. It was like, here's the ultimate sign of what's going to happen if I keep drinking. Mm-hmm. I've lost a friend that way. And that was just, the timing of that was just unbelievable. It was, you know, but it happened, so.
Are there any studies or is there any research that's been done to show what benefits of spiritual music there is with people?
Oh, absolutely. You know, there's the Journal of the Journal of Science, and there's so many, really. Mm-hmm. I'll just tell you some of the
sure, please, the
main notes. I mean, there's not only spiritual benefits, but one of the first great books I read on the study is a book called Super Learning on the Power of Music and the Benefits. And this was a group in Bulgaria run by a guy named George Lazanov, Dr. George, and they were studying how to really optimize the human brain. And they came up with the best way to memorize anything is by using a certain tempo of a certain style of classical music, like Baroque music at 60 BPMs. And there's something about that music that when you listen to it, mm-hmm, and you beat this into your head, you listen, you say something over and over, you memorize the content. And I started doing this. This was in the 90s. I was in university while I was reading this book. And I started trying this. I made a tape of all these certain classical pieces from Bach and some Vivaldi and stuff, even earlier. But it had to be a certain tempo, and they researched all these songs. And it really did supercharge my learning and my brain. And so that was, you know, benefit number one. I thought it entrains your nervous system to get into a flow state, is what it really does. Mm-hmm. And you can learn anything. But then there's lately I've been more into the healing aspects, where it's kind of like we have these, you asked about the spiritual aspects, we have these deep, almost unknown hidden traumas, you know, things in it that have stressed us in the past, maybe, right, something that happened, maybe we were at the mall as with our parents as a kid, and they left us alone for 2 seconds, and, you know, it's nothing, but our subconscious mind might have, you know, registered that as a traumatic experience that's kind of holding us back a little bit in our life. Or maybe, you know, if we repress that, and it's all these little things add up like that, and they can start, if we don't let them go, they can kind of start running your life, where you're basically kind of on autopilot to try to avoid these fears. So what music does is it lets us feel these feelings that otherwise would be repressed. And when we feel these feelings, they feel seen. It's like, it's almost like a little kid or something, these feelings. It's like, I feel this feeling, I'm letting it wash over my body, and then it's like, it's okay. And then you kind of are just at peace with it, and then you can let it go. And I think when we listen to music, you know, you have those nostalgic feelings. So sometimes it takes you back.
Sure.
And then you have also feelings of emotional release. And I think that is all going on behind the curtain, if you will, you know, on a hyper level, right? With music, there's vibrations and cells, and I think it's letting go of certain things that we need to let go of, with, in not really a tangible sense, almost, right? It's just feeling these things subconsciously.
Well, my friend, the time has come when you and I must say so long for tonight, Jason. Love to have you back on in the future.
It was great talking with you,
Rob. Hey, continued success. Thank you for bringing the music that you do to so many people. And like I said, don't be a stranger. Tell our listeners where they can buy your music and find out more about you one more time.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me on the X Zone. This is a blast. I love your show. And
thanks, partner.
And they can find my music at guitarfulness.com. That's just the word guitar, GUITARFULNESS, guitarfulness, just like mindfulness.com. And just go there. You can leave me a message or send me an email. Or my name's jason@guitarfulness.com would be my email. And I'd love to hear more.
Jason, take care of yourself. Safe travels, and keep the great work up, friend.
Thanks a lot, Rob.
Good night. Exonation, our guest this hour has been Jason Eastwood. He is in Winnipeg, Manitoba, a beautiful province here in Canada. His website is guitarfulness.com, and visit his website, listen to his music.
You're in for a treat. I'll be back on the other side of this break as the X Zone continues with yours truly, Rob McConnell, from our broadcast center and studios in St. Catharines, Ontario, Canada. Don't go away.